1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. President Trump today ratcheted up the pressure on Venezuela over drug trafficking and other issues.
We've almost totally stopped it by sea. Now we'll stop it by land.
What's the next step?
But it never worked. It never worked when you did it in a very politically correct manner.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe on what that may mean.
There's no evidence as of now that there are plans for land operations. We do know, though, that the deployment of at least 6,000 U.S. forces across the Caribbean Sea area and the operations that have been carried out in recent weeks to take out those alleged boats, drug boats, are significant, certainly for this region of the world, and suggest there could be more to come.
And the president has authorized covert CIA activities in Venezuela. Analyst Steve Elner.
I wonder to what extent this news item was intentional, that the Trump administration is just upping the pressure on Venezuela, because undoubtedly the United States has CIA agents all over the world and probably in Venezuela.
Hamas turned over the remains of two more hostages today, but said that's all it can reach. A senior U.S. official insists no one will be left behind. President Trump was asked about it.
What is your understanding of the pace of returning the deceased hostages? Are you pleased?
Well, they're looking for them. Absolutely. They're looking. So we have the living hostages all back. They returned some more today. It's a gruesome process. I almost hate to talk about it, but they're digging.
The remains of 9 hostages have been returned to Israel out of 28. A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration from firing workers during the shutdown. They're still not receiving pay. And Pat Vitale reports from Detroit, local businesses are stepping up.
The Anchor Bar is offering free meals to federal employees during the government shutdown. Owner Nabi Ayad tells me it's about taking care of the people caught in the middle of all the politics.
We just felt it was prudent to help them out during these challenging times.
Ayad says the free meals will go through the duration of the government shutdown, which is now in its 15th day.
Matt Piper reports on an unusual recall.
Ben's Original is recalling a number of rice products due to the possible presence of small stones in the rice. The FDA says the stones are naturally occurring and originate from the rice farm, but that they pose possible risk of oral or digestive tract injury if eaten. The recall includes Ben's White, Brown, and Wild rice packs with best buy dates of August 2026. The products were sold to places like Target, United Markets, Amazon, and more.
On Wall Street today, stocks finished mixed. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 98.9 WXCO.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Don't often agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They asked her about Congress being shut down and how it related to the Epstein files.
Why drag this out? That is going to have 218 signatures. I say go ahead and do it and get it over with.
Trade me. She's not necessarily my cup of tea, but she reads tea leaves. I think her moving to where she's at says that when that vote happens, there are going to be a major dam break, and it's a problem.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4. 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 98.9 WXCO.
And welcome back. It is our number two of the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, and again, also on YouTube. YouTube.com, and go to the 98.9 WXCO channel. Before we start here, I want to give an invitation to folks. And number one, Ian Welsh is our in-studio engineer. And Ian, you know what I want to invite people to do tomorrow? Is come here and visit
us. Open house.
We have an open house here at WXCO. So if you're out there, you want to come in, you want to sit in front of a microphone, talk to me and ask me what I'm doing right or tell me what I'm doing wrong, from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. tomorrow, open house here at WXCO. We have some food from the Mint. We'll have beverages. We have some swag from WXCO. And just a chance to look around. We'll take you all over. We'll put you in front of the microphones. If you want to hear yourself talk, we'll record you up. And also from 2 to 4, one of our statewide shows, the Todd Alba Show. He does his show in Madison. He's coming up here to do the show tomorrow from 2 to 4. So again, folks, come on over. Because if you don't, it'll make me look bad. I got some of our bosses coming up, and we want people to come through the doors tomorrow.
Are you doing open interviews for co-host for the Big High School Sports Show?
I tell you, real fast, before, we're going to get to Cooper to point here. Last week's show felt like a long show without you here. This week it's going to clip and on
does.
By.
It goes right on by.
But let's, before we run out of time, welcome our student athlete guest, Cooper DuPoint. Cooper, thank you for coming on over.
Thanks for having me.
You're back. But this year, you were with us in football. Last year, you were with us in hockey. But after last Friday's game, I was packing up and heading down. I talked to Coach Johnson. I said, I'm going to have to bring Cooper on here because my plan was ultimately to bring you on during hockey season. But when you put up 264 yards in the game, had to bring you on over, and really glad you could make it on over here tonight. I guess we'll start off with that game last week because you came back midway through the season. You've worked your way in, and then it seemed to all come together. I mean, you were running the ball well. You're getting good blocking. Everything seemed to click. Was it one of those things where it just felt like it was clicking?
I think this last game for sure. I kind of got back into the lineup after coming back week four, and I think you said it. I got good blocking last game. Shout out to the big guys up front. They were definitely a big reason for that. Yeah, just great team win on Friday, and I think that's given us a lot of momentum. But
so you talk about coming back week four, right? Like everybody knows that hockey's a big part of your life, and yep. That's kind of what you chose to focus on to start the season. First off, what brought you back? And second off, was that a challenge, like coming into the team at that point and kind of transitioning into a group of guys who'd been together for that? I mean, I know a lot of them are your friends and you hang out yeah. with them all the time, but was that a tricky situation? So what brought you back and what was it like?
I think I just couldn't be away from it. You know, I kind of had decided at the beginning of the season I was going to focus on hockey. I had a pretty decent junior year. I thought that I was okay with stopping my career there and just pursuing hockey, but I think, you know, I just missed it so much, and I'm glad the things worked out the way that they did and that I was able to come back. And I'm just really thankful for those coaches and those senior class, like the rest of the team. Like, I think them welcoming me back and not saying no to me coming back was a big reason why I wanted to come back and be around them. So,
when did you know you wanted to come back? I mean, I imagine that it wasn't one day, then you just went right in. I imagine it's sort of been hanging over you for a while. What was the process like in your mind as the season started, and you're probably thinking, oh, I'm really missing it.
Yeah.
Could you talk about what that process was?
Yeah, I think that first home game that I was watching in the student section, that was a that was a big one. It kind of sucked not being out there with those guys that I've played with now for the last 3 years in high school. And I mean, I've grown up with a couple of them, and I think it just, I missed it so much, and I didn't want to, my last season of football, I thought, you know, I just wanted to play with those guys and finish out. And that was kind of what brought me back. And
It's been interesting for me, because I've known you and your family a really long time. We kind of go back to Eagle River, and I left Eagle River before you were really old enough to play football. And then I talked to your family about you guys coming down here and talked about playing football. And it was at that time that your dad told me about you wanting to play football, and that how good you were on the football field, and how much you loved it. And I'll be honest with you, at that time, it was a little bit of a surprise to me, because just knowing that you guys are a hockey family and yep. that and you're a hockey guy or whatever, how did you get into football and what kind of drew you to it? Because I know there's a ton of opportunities to play hockey in the fall. So, and I know how passionate your dad and you guys are about hockey too. So what got you into football? And I think it's great. I think it's great to play multiple sports. So tell me about your football journey a little bit.
I think it was, you know, just growing up in Eagle River, all of my friends played football. So I think that was a big reason why I got into it. But also my dad, I mean, him and his brother both played football all throughout high school, middle school. My dad finished all 4 years of football. So that was another reason. I like to hit people, and I like to tackle people. So I think the physicality was something that I liked, and it was just a sport that I like a lot. So
one of the things that jumped out when you came back the first night against DC Everest is that they put you on special teams.
Yep.
And you had a great game on special teams. And then you started to play a little bit more defensively, and you started to make an impact there. Then the final step was actually the running back position the last couple of weeks, where you had 100 yards against Marshfield and then the big game against ECM. What do you prefer? Do you prefer being on the defensive side hitting people, or do you prefer running and through people on the offensive side?
I just like to be on the field, to be honest. I like both of them a lot. I would say I prefer running back a little bit more, just because I like to have the ball.
To score, whether on the ice or on the field, right?
I try to in football. It's kind of the joke going around right now is I can't get in the end zone. But
I did wonder on Friday night when you had like 8 rushes on that drive, got down to the 2-yard line, then he handed it off to Miles to punch it in the end zone. I was like, ooh, that hurts.
Yeah. But I'm fine not getting in the end zone as long as we score and win the game. So
let me ask you about your weekend, because when you came in here, and I got a message from your mom, because you were homecoming weekend, and you took a picture right here. It said, hey, we were outside the radio station, and that you had gone to play hockey on Saturday. I asked him about that. Tell us what your schedule was Friday night and Saturday.
Yeah, so that was kind of another thing that was kind of a big decision with coming back to football, is I would have a lot of early mornings, a lot of late nights on the weekends for hockey. So my schedule for this weekend, I played the Friday night game, went to bed, got up at 4 a.m., and then went over to Minneapolis, played a hockey game at 11 a.m., and then came back after that, went to homecoming with my buddies, went to bed, and then Sunday morning again, got up around 4 a.m. and went down for another hockey game, so...
We talked about this earlier. You probably weren't listening at that time, but when we were doing the recap of last week's game and talking about what a great game you had and what a good win it was for the team, one of the things we talked about was, like, at this time last year, your body was in pretty rough shape, right? Like, it was you were still giving it and trying, but your body was kind of failing you a little bit. tell me, A, how you're feeling now, and do you think part of that is a result of maybe not being as actively involved the first 4 weeks?
I think definitely not being involved in the first 4 weeks. Right now, even just the guys who are just playing football, a lot of our team is banged up, and they're kind of coming back from injuries, and I think me not playing those first 4 weeks definitely gave me a little bit of a head start. Right now, my body's feeling pretty good. Not as banged up as it probably was last year around this time. But, yeah, last year is kind of the same schedule. I'd have hockey on the weekends, football on Fridays, and throughout the week. So I think that was a big part of why my body was banged up last year and doing better this year.
I want to throw a disclaimer on the end of that one, too. That is not Coach Johnson's preferred method, is to miss the first 4 weeks and then come out. So for any of you other guys out there listening, that is not the rule. But ultimately this year, I think it has benefited you and, as a result, the team coming down the stretch.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about the weekend. You said you played hockey both Saturday and Sunday. Did the short nights affect your play on the ice? I mean, again, I imagine it was a big challenge, both physically and between the ears, I imagine, to be ready to go out, because obviously it's very important to you to perform well over in Minneapolis. How did it go? How does it affect your play on the ice having that game on Friday night?
I think I played one of my better games of the season actually on Sunday, so that was a little bit surprising just because of the recovery aspect. I didn't get a lot of sleep, so... But, yeah, I think it definitely has an effect a little bit. I think a lot of it more is just kind of knowing that I'm going to be tired going into the game, and I just got to play through it and play how I usually play, and nobody else really cares, I guess, if I don't get sleep. So
that's right.
Just got to play my game.
One of my favorite things about football compared to other sports is how it's one of the best team sports, right? It takes all 11 guys on offense, defense, special teams, kind of cliche. But when you break that down even further, it's by position group, right? So when you watch film, when you practice, oftentimes it's you with your running backs group and maybe the quarterbacks. And on defense, it's you and your linebackers group and maybe sometimes the safeties, however it might be. How have those relationships been? Like the running back room, on one hand, you're coming in and every touch you get is probably taken away from a carry somebody else had previously. But at the same time, the Wausau West running back room, every one of you plays on both sides of the ball, so fewer carries might overall make things better. So how have those relationships gone within your position group, and what have the attitudes been like?
Yeah, I think just specifically the running back group, like with Miles Waldvogel and Tate and Mua and those guys, I think they want to win football games just like the rest of us, and they want to obviously be on the field with us, but they know, like, whoever's running the ball well that night or whoever's not banged up the most is going to get some more majority of the carries. And I think all three of those guys, me, Mua and Miles, any three of us can run the ball just as well as one another. So I think those guys are just, we push each other in practice and during the games even to try to get out there. So I think that relationship with specifically the running backs, we're pretty close, I'd say, and we just like to push each other to be the best that we can for the games on Friday. So
we're talking to Cooper DePoit, our student athlete guest this week on the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO. You lost your number. How big of a thing was that? And along that line, you must not be superstitious. Was it a big thing losing your number?
The number was not the biggest deal to me. I think at that point in the season, I just wanted to come back and play. So I think the number was not a huge deal to me. But
and did you choose 13 then?
I did. 13's pretty close to 19 for me. I think 13's just as good as 19. So
let's step away from all the sports aspects for a few moments and, again, try to delve a little deeper. And I don't think you have much time for a heck of a lot other things right now. But when you do have that little bit of time off, when you're not either playing football or playing hockey or traveling to wherever you're going, what do you do to get away from it all? What do you like to do to get away from it all?
I kind of just like hanging out with my buddies, and I don't get to do that a lot right now during hockey season and football season. I think I'm around them during football, but outside of that, I don't really get to hang out with them. So I think that's one of the big things. And then I also like, I know my friends are going to make fun of me for this, but I also like to the recovery part of things and just taking care of my body when I can. And so that's another thing.
That's good. So let's talk school for a minute. What is your, and then you can, I'm sure Chad will probably follow up with the next question, but what is your, what's your favorite part of school? Like, what's your favorite subject? Who's your favorite teacher? What gets you excited about being at Wausau West and in the building?
I think just being around my friends again. I think that was a big thing, was a big decision for me this year was hockey, and I didn't know if I wanted to stay and play for West this year or leave and go and play, not for another high school, but in the hockey world, it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. I was maybe thinking about leaving and going to play for a different Tier 1 team. So I think just being around my friends, and I wanted to have another year with my buddies, so I think.
Let me kind of bounce forward on that because – yes, I think there was a folks where was Cooper going to be back for his senior year? And you had the opportunities. You had the choice. Could you talk a little bit about, again, I mean, this is one of those big early decisions in somebody's life. I mean, it's a huge decision. Could you talk about the process a little bit? How did you go about making the decision? Because you had, as you said, opportunities, because the road to where you want to be hockey-wise has different roads you can take.
Yeah.
Talk about the process to get to this point.
I think, it was a pretty hard decision. The biggest one, I think, was definitely football. I didn't want to give that up. And just being around my buddies for high school, like I really wanted to do those two things. And I think at the beginning of the season, the decision I had made is I want to spend another year with my friends. I want to stay here and play for West and hopefully win a state championship for hockey. So I think that was a big reason why I decided to stay. And then the football thing, I told myself I wasn't going to play football because I don't think I could do both and still perform well in hockey. But luckily it shook out the way it did and I'm back, so that's that's fun. But yeah, it's definitely, I got a big decision to make after this year for hockey and where I want to go and play. So yeah.
What is that process for those who don't know? I know
it's different for hockey.
Yeah. So what does that look like for you? I mean, obviously, I think the ultimate goal is college hockey. Am I accurate in that? So what are the steps that you'll have to take in order to realize that dream?
So in hockey, there's this thing called juniors, and there's a lot of different junior leagues. There's multiple different paths that people take to get to those junior leagues, and I think just about everybody before they go to college plays juniors for hockey. And I think the average college hockey player is like 20 or 21. So they're not an average freshman. They all go and play juniors. They develop a little bit and then they go to college after that. So for me after high school, I'm right now, the plan is to go down to South Dakota and play for the Watertown Shamrocks next year in the North American Hockey League, and then hopefully work my way up to a different junior league and hopefully college after that. So that's kind of my plan right now.
Have to get some Shamrocks gear.
I was going
to
say that. I bet you they got sweet uniforms.
Absolutely. You mentioned one of the goals is to try to win a state championship in hockey this year. What did it mean to make the state tournament last year? Because it was such a great run to get through that bracket of death to make it to the state tournament. What was that experience like for you?
It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. I think, there wasn't a lot of people that expected that going into the season for us, but I think just the guys in our locker room expected that, and we wanted big things and expected big things for that year. And I think making it to that point, unfortunately losing, but making it to that point and kind of change a little bit of the culture was really awesome and meant a lot to a lot of us.
Oftentimes when we have our athletes on the show, we ask, who is your biggest rivalry and who do you love to play against most? I feel like I don't have to ask you that question.
Yeah.
But knowing, correct me if I'm wrong, but knowing that it's Spash in particular in hockey, what was it like to beat him in football this year?
That was awesome. That was I think for our senior year, all of the seniors we hadn't beat Spash actually. Yep. We lost them in playoffs, we lost them in regular season, so to beat them for our senior year at home on a Saturday, that was pretty awesome for all of us.
What would it mean to beat them I believe you play them pretty early in the regular season on the ice.
Yep.
I imagine that that would mean a lot because they're still going to be outstanding. You're going to be, I think, very, very good as well. Let me put it differently. Not asking what it means. Because, and I think you know it as well, but you've been at all those games. Even early in the season, in December, when Stevens Point came to Marathon Park last year, it was a different feel from any other game early in the season. What is it like when that old barn at Marathon Park is really filled for a big game against a team like Stevens Point?
I think the energy's awesome, and I think it looks, it might not be that packed, but it looks packed because of how it's not the biggest rink, so it definitely looks packed when people all around the boards and lined up and standing behind people on benches, and
it is packed. I'm yeah, up yeah. there.
Those
it
games are packed. Yeah, sure. Yep.
I need to. You know, I gotta get those elbows out there. It's like,
yeah, those games are awesome, though.
Well, I can say from a former AD standpoint and still crowd supervision standpoint, I would greatly appreciate you not allowing Spash to score when they come and throw stuff on the ice when they get there. So the longer you can hold that off, the better we'll be.
But I think that we're going to see if the new AD has the capability of keeping those out of the building, right?
Yeah. Good luck.
Anything else you want to ask Cooper before we
No, just I think it's awesome. I think it's good for you. I think it's good for Wausau West. So congratulations on coming back. And I think it, like I said, I think it's really a positive thing. I think it's great to play multiple sports, to be coached by different people. I think we've talked about that in the past. But congratulations on a great football season. Hopefully there's a lot of football ahead yet as we finish yeah. up this year. And good luck with that as well as moving forward into hockey.
Thank you.
And our final question, I think actually it's really good because you've had to go through some different decision-making processes than maybe anybody else that we've talked to on this program. But based on your experience, based on your multi-sport experience, based on the decisions you've had to go through, for a piece of advice for a freshman as they're starting their athletic journey, whether football or hockey or whatever it may be, what piece of advice would you give them based on what you've experienced over the last few years at Wausau West?
I think a lot of people say this, but don't rush it. I think, you know, senior year came up fast on me, and I had a lot of decisions to make, and I kind of wanted to rush into junior hockey, and now I kind of think I did rush it a little bit, and I kind of wish I could go back to freshman year and do it all over again. So definitely don't rush it. Put in the work, and you'll have a lot of fun.
Cooper DePoy, congrats on all the success up to this point. Best of luck Friday at River Falls in the playoffs, and then of course on the ice all winter long.
Thanks
for coming in. That's Cooper DePoy from Wausau West High School. We'll take a break, come back, look ahead to the action this week in high school football coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO. On Friday night, the Wausau West High School football team wraps up the regular season, traveling to River Falls to take on the 7-1 Wildcats. Hear all the action live from the Clover Belt Credit Union broadcast booth, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 p.m. and the opening kickoff at 7 on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Wausau West football on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Wisconsin Valley Flake Football, Featherstone Cabinetry, the Wausau West Gridiron Club, K5 Construction, Rocket Industrial, and the Clover Belt Credit Union. It's Wausau West at River Falls in high school football. Live from the Clover Belt Credit Union broadcast booth, Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:35, kickoff at 7 on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. On Saturday, the Wausau East High School football team plays host to Lakeland in a Great Northern Conference matchup. Hear all the exciting action live from the Clover Belt Credit Union broadcast booth, starting with the pregame show at 11:35 a.m. and the kickoff set for 12 noon on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Wausau East football on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Compass Properties, Grand Avenue Artifactory, Sun Printing, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Lopnose, The Mill Yard, Northland Painting, Callan Street Pub, Rocket Industrial, and the Clover Belt Credit Union. It's Wausau East hosting Lakeland in high school football Saturday, live from the Clover Belt Credit Union broadcast booth, starting with the pregame show at 11:35 a.m., kickoff at noon on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm. Mobile devices by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And welcome back. Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO. WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app and on YouTube, youtube.com and the 98.9 WXCO channel. I'm Chad Holmes along with Jason Foster, and it's nice when our guests make it so easy.
Yeah.
I mean, both guests made it easy tonight.
Yeah, two good ones. Like we were saying on the break, a lot of talking right there. We need to catch our breath a little bit, but no, I think they are. I think Coach Mitchell's a great one. Great accomplishments, kind of heading in the right direction, that program for sure, but did it very differently this year than they did last year. And then I think all of our student athletes do a great job. One of the things I loved about Cooper this year is kind of has a little different perspective, and the sports that he plays are different than most of the athletes that we have on. So kind of always interesting to hear what their path is and what their weekends look like.
Oh, man, I'm tired just thinking about that. I mean, man, oh, man. And again, the number one, wake after a game like that, you're not going to want to fall asleep. The adrenaline will be flowing, and be up at four, and then to go, get over there, and then to perform against some of the athletes he had to perform against.
Right. I would say this, too. In defense of you, you're going to have a similar weekend this weekend, from what I understand.
I'm tired. I've got that first little piece that I'm thinking I'm getting a little old, because I've been working a little bit, looking ahead towards the winter, and I'm thinking about these Tuesday nights and these Thursday nights, and thinking about having to go to work the next morning, and thinking, man, how am I going to get through the winter? You get older, you start thinking about that stuff.
I think back to that last weekend of hockey and the beginning of playoff basketball last year when I was the athletic director, and we went down and watched the Storm play on Thursday, came back, went down and watched Wausau West hockey play on Friday morning, came back to watch Wausau West basketball beat Everest Friday night, go on Saturday to watch the Storm play in the championship game, leave there after two periods and drive to Eau Claire Memorial to watch our basketball team play in the regional finals. So, yeah, they're exciting times, but those miles don't drive themselves.
They certainly don't. But that's, you know, the fun part of it as well. So lots of great stuff going on, a couple of nice road trips. And let's talk about, again, week number nine, because a lot on the line. And then, of course, Saturday, people wake up and they'll watch for those brackets to come out, and I mean, I guess nowadays you can almost figure it out a little bit easier. Don't have to really wait, but that's a higher level than me, so I'll still look.
Do you know, like, are they still doing a bracket show?
Yes, they
or
are
whatever?
On TV.
After Friday night's games, they will not update those rankings.
I don't
probably
think they will.
So you won't find out till Saturday morning.
Exactly,
but you should have a pretty good idea.
Yep, not just to let you folks know. The show will be at 10 a.m. on Saturday. I got the email from the WIA today. It'll be on WAOW 9.2, which is, I think, catchy comedy.
Oh, nice.
So hopefully it won't be catchy comedy when the brackets come out, you know? Last year it was a little comedy, especially the folks in the Wisconsin Valley Conference were thinking a little comedy. But yeah, 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, they will have a special show on WAOW 9.2. So there you go. Let's talk about the action before then, Friday night. Wisconsin Valley Conference, Everest, and Eau Claire Memorial. And again, for DC Everest, and I, we didn't ask Coach Mitchell, but it sounds like maybe Corbin Enzenroth is going to be either rested.
Limited, yeah.
That's what it sounded like. And again, 180 carries through eight games, that's a lot of carries. And for DC Everest, that, again, Memorial, they came out for a quarter on Friday, and they play, they're much better. It's a little bit of a... I don't know. As a coach, it's not easy to think, well, I want to make sure my guys are ready, but boy, you never want to take the foot off the accelerator, do you?
Nope. Eau Claire Memorial, I think we talked about it a little bit in regards to the West game last week, and if you look at their body of work this year, they're a well-coached team, and they've taken a step in the right direction, and if they can find ways to stay in games, they've done just that.
And even last week, real quickly, they had a running back who got knocked out of the game in the first quarter defensively, one of their starters, and he did not return it, and I felt like that was a big change in that game. So it's a very thin line, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, and I mean, the other double whammy for them. And maybe, who knows, maybe this is good too. We talked about it with Coach Mitchell, but they are getting on a bus for the second week in a row and making, aside from Spash, one of the longest trips they make, and they're doing it for a second Friday in a row.
But they got that big new scoreboard to look at DC.
They do have a big new scoreboard to look at.
Stevens Point and Marshfield. Boy, this is a interesting matchup because you would not have thought it, but Marshfield's a game ahead of Stevens Point in the Wisconsin Valley Conference standings. And for Marshfield, a significant game because I think they need this game, or otherwise they're going to be in a very tough spot again going into level one. And the same thing for Stevens Point. If you look at the preliminary qualifying report in Division One, the 32nd team is Stevens Point.
It is very interesting.
That would be a tough number eight seed for number one, I think.
Oh, for sure. Yep. And I think like you kind of were thinking that Spash was going to give Everest a better game than they did, and understandably so, and they didn't. And so there's a few more question marks surrounding Spash and who and what they are this year, right? They kind of had the easy non-conference schedule, did what they were supposed to, and they've hit some bumps in the road since then. And Marshfield has showed a really solid ability to run the football, right? And it obviously might not help them with their inability to throw the football. I think it's important for them to possess the ball and keep it close, right? They get down two touchdowns, they're gonna probably struggle against a team like Spash. But Spash scored 13 points last week against Everest.
Yeah, but giving up 35 against Eau Claire North makes me wonder about that matchup between the Marshfield defense and the Stevens Point offense. So, again, for Stevens Point, they badly need to play well, I think, going into the playoffs, or else it could be very difficult next week.
For sure. And Marshfield's at home, too, and they played well 2 weeks ago against the Warriors. Yep.
Wisconsin Rapids will try to get that first conference win and first overall win for Mike Krenz at Eau Claire North on Friday night. Again, it's one of those games where both these teams would love to finish off their year with a W.
Yep, I think.
And I think actually North, if they get the win, that would be their third win because that crossover counts as a conference win.
Correct.
They beat Superior in their crossover. But I think they would be a team that I think, if I'm not mistaken, in the recent years, they missed the playoffs with three conference wins, too, at one point. So, again, it has a lot to do because, again, who you beat. Superior, I don't know if they won a game yet. Rapids, if they win, have not won a game. And Eau Claire Memorial, they only have the one win. So that could put them into trouble as well.
But yeah, for sure. Tough road ahead. I think on the flip side of that, you look at Rapids and think, what a great shot in the arm it would be for them to pull off that first victory of the year under Coach Krenz as they head into the offseason. So this is kind of a intriguing one for me. I do look forward to seeing that score Friday night.
And I will be heading to River Falls on Friday night as the Wausau West Warriors will try to earn a sixth win of the regular season, taking on the 7-1 River Falls Wildcats. And they've had a fantastic season. I mean, this team really has done yeoman's work. Only one loss, and it sort of stands out. They only scored 6 points in that game, I think. But for Wausau West, and I think this is really a good spot for West because they're going to have to play a team like River Falls, likely in the first round of the playoffs, and go out there, give it a mini. It's a dress rehearsal. Ian knows about dress rehearsals. It's like a dress rehearsal for the Warriors going into the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think when you talk about this new playoff system, which I certainly am not even a novice at, but the little bit I do understand about it, part of the reason River Falls is a top four team.
They're second in D2.
The reason they're the second team is because the teams they play in their conference all have very good records. Like the teams they've beaten have really quality wins, and I think they've done that. They've been conference championships in this conference in recent history and are a really good football team. Coach Johnson said this early in the year, so I think he has seen it coming, that this was last year was a wake-up call for them. I think West beat them in week 9 last year. That certainly helped their case for the playoffs, and I mean their seedings.
And it knocked River Falls out,
right? And I think River Falls had a rough year of a team who had been rolling, so I think it probably catapulted them into the offseason they had to get back to form this year. So I think this is a tough road for the Warriors. It's a road trip, probably like they're going to have the following week. So
win. It could lift them two slots.
Right.
Sure. Because right now they are 29th, which would be the first number eight seed. You win a game against River Falls, that could be a 5 or a 6 because of the juice.
Absolutely. So at a minimum, we always look at games like this. You never obviously talk to the kids or say this out loud or whatever. You're going over there to win. That's what you watch film for and prepare for. At a minimum, though, when you're talking about moving forward, you want to go over there and compete, right? You want to go over there, be competitive. You want to take every possession. You want to cause some turnovers and just kind of have build that positive as you head into the postseason.
6:35 airtime, 7 o'clock kickoff Friday night, Wausau West at River Falls right here on 98.9 WXCO. WXCO.FM, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Great Northern Conference, Mosinee at Medford. And that's all you talked about earlier when Everest plays Everest plays Spash in week number 8. This has been the week 9 game for the GNC, and usually it's a conference championship game. This year it's not, but for Mosinee, it is a conference championship game and an opportunity for Medford to build on a very impressive game last week.
Yeah, I think right, let's get football cliches here. We're in week 9, but you kind of throw out the records a little bit for this one. I think for years past, like you said, it has definitely been a 1 versus 1A in this matchup. I think obviously, Mosinee's probably favored in this one. The game's at Medford, so that works in their favor. They've been going. And I think, whatever, I'm not going to be surprised if Mosinee kind of wins this one handily.
Yeah.
But I also wouldn't be shocked. Like, I look a little bit at last week's Amherst versus Stratford, right? Like, I'll speak for myself. I felt like this was Amherst's year to kind of, at least for this year, to take back that conference. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden we're sitting here and Stratford not only beats them, but beats them handily. Yeah. So, I mean, not predicting that in this matchup, but I do think Medford, I mean, this is a tradition game. There's bad blood. They don't like each other and they're going to do whatever they need to kind of come away with a win. So it should be a physical, tough matchup.
One aspect, Medford, they experience coaching. And I think against a team like Mosinee, you have to have a good coaching staff and a good game plan because you know what Mosinee's going to want to do.
Yeah.
But you got to find a way to try to slow down Treve Staffel, both on the offensive side and the defensive side. And I think if there's anybody that's got that ability, it could be the Medford staff.
And that
it's a veteran staff who's won a lot of games.
Yeah, and the other thing that sticks out to me about this matchup is that listening to the Medford game when they played East, right? They moved the ball all over the field. They just couldn't finish.
Right.
Like, they couldn't get it in the end zone. They go for it on fourth down all the time. They go they go for two all the time. You know what I mean? So those are the types of things that make a big difference in a game. So a couple of those plays bounce their way, and all of a sudden they get some momentum. But I do think also if Mosinee gets up on them, I do think their inability to throw the ball could certainly hurt them as well.
And they really were not good throwing the ball. That's one thing that jumped out doing that game is that you're exactly right. They moved the ball up and down the field. They got some really good young running backs who are going to be around for a couple more years. They ran for well over 300 yards in that game. They scored 6 points.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like it's hard to do that.
Yep.
It's hard to do that. But, yeah, when they were forced to throw it, boy, they didn't complete a pass.
Right.
I mean, it was just not good.
And Coach Wilson's a heck of a coach, so that might certainly be part of the process, and he knows how to play in big games, so should be an interesting one.
So Mosinee is tied with Tomahawk for the conference lead. Tomahawk will try to secure at least a share of the conference championship. I don't think many people thought that before the start of the year. They traveled to Lakeland. Again, the Lakeland Thunderbirds got off to a great start. They were 4-0. They're now 5-3. They are 3-3 in the conference, but they are a banged up football team. And frankly, I did not see a game in a long time where there were more injury timeouts than the one on Saturday. It felt like it was a long game because there were a lot of injury timeouts. And going into the game, Lakeland was banged up. But again, you just have to give, I think, Dewey Riley a lot of credit for what he's been able to accomplish, because for a lot of years, it felt like they have that really nice stadium there at Tomahawk. It felt like they had some of the potential, but it never came together. And now it's finally just come together.
And I think such a big piece of this, and I think to some extent, you could, obviously not having the same successor type of season, but you could say some of this about Wausau West too. It's not all the time that your hockey players play football.
Yeah.
And in this regard, they do. And I think this is a big game for Tomahawk, not necessarily from a matchup standpoint. Like, I'm not sure Lakeland's going to give them much of a game here. But when you look at what's at stake for Tomahawk in this one, a win here keeps them in the top four, gives them home field advantage through the first three games. And I think that's a really a big thing for a team like that as they head into the playoffs. So Lakeland's got very little to lose in this one. And Tomahawk, there's no reason for me to think Tomahawk isn't going to come out ready to play and have a great game and a lot of success, but definitely an important game for Tomahawk to make sure they get a win in.
Yeah, they're number three right now, so that would be a number one seed in Division Five, and that's an interesting bracket. We'll touch on a couple of the other top 10 teams coming up here in just a few moments. Anago at Wausau East. Wausau East, in all likelihood, would be a playoff team. And that was actually, for this new system, beating a five-win Lakeland team was huge. Because now you get to 3-4 with a win against Anago. That would put them in, I think, a pretty good spot to make the playoffs. And Anago has just been a struggle this year.
What is Wausau East rank right now?
Wausau East is in the 20s. Let me go back and take a peek here. But, Lumberjacks actually moved up significantly with that win. They're not 25.
So. Okay. Yeah, so they're pretty solid in their spot.
I don't know if the Anago win would give them a lot, but they would be a 6 or 7, depending on what the other teams around them do. But it's been an up-and-down year for East. Mm-hmm. Anything to add?
No, I think it has. I think I would say 4 weeks ago, East had consecutive tough losses there. The Rhinelander one probably sticks out in our minds
the
most.
And the Tomahawk one.
Yep. A difference it would have made for both teams if they'd have found a way to pull that one off. But with those consecutive losses at one point, the way Lakeland was playing and knowing they still had them on the schedule, a tough Merrill game that they didn't
win.
The
Medford win is huge too.
Right,
now.
Exactly. And knowing Medford, and they were playing better football. So, yeah. I mean, East has earned their way to where they are right now. So, obviously, I think they couldn't ask for a better matchup than they have in week 9 that should allow them to kind of stay where they're at in that playoff chase. And then once you make the playoffs, anything can happen. But as we all know, in football, making the playoffs is special in and of itself because not everybody gets in. So a good step for their program if they're able to get back in consecutive years.
And Rhinelander is at Merrill. And for Merrill, it's about getting a W and improving that seeding. For Rhinelander, it's about getting a third conference win. And Rhinelander has just been you put your hands in the air because you're not really sure what they are because they've had that win against East was impressive, 28-14 at Tom Field. I mean, that was a good win. And they've had some losses that just make you shake your head.
Yeah, if Forrest Gump were here, he'd be saying Rhinelander's like a box of chocolates. You never quite know what you're going to get, right? And I think Merrill needs a solid, convincing win as they come out. I mean, I'm not sure in this current playoff format how much wins can catapult you or drop you at this stage of the season.
That's a good question.
Yeah, to be determined, right? But I think for Merrill's sake, as they head to the playoffs, a really solid start to finish victory for them, I think, kind of gets them back in the right mindset to where we really felt they were earlier in the season.
To be honest with you, when you look at, again, I've got up in front of me these rankings. I mean, I'm looking at Division III right now, and Lakeland is 12th. And there's no way they're the 12th best team in Division III. That's nothing against them, just based on where they are injury-wise and everything else. Merrill's 13. So it's like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it speaks to the conference, right?
And Menominee's 24, and you think about the conference they're in,
I think Menominee would be licking their chops to have these teams come into town for certain. But I think it kind of speaks to the conference stuff, right, that we talk about. Yeah. Like, these teams were all had really good records at one point.
And it was when do you play them?
It was a 3 or 4 team race because everybody had four. Everybody was 3-3 or 4-2 at one spot. So those wins and kind of whatever the points mean gave you extra points and have put them in those positions. So I think a win for Merrill is a really nice win for them and probably gets them a nice home game and, level one.
Yeah, absolutely. And frankly, it goes back to a point. I do think there should be a human element involved somehow.
Don't disagree.
Some people think that it should all be computers, but I do think there should be a human element because sometimes numbers do lie. Numbers never lie. Some people say, no, I think numbers sometimes do lie, but that's a whole different situation.
I mean, if you look at where Lakeland is right now, if they don't drop, they're going to be a sub 500 conference team, 5-4 overall. And if if in a bracket like that a team ends up getting a home game, I think you're going to have just as many people screaming about this playoff system as you had about the last one.
I mean, what would losing to a then 8-1 Tomahawk team mean? I think that would hurt them that much, right? So interesting. CWC Large, you got Loyal Greenwood at Stratford. Loyal Greenwood, 4 weeks ago, you would not have thought they would be fighting for their playoff life, but unfortunately for them, they have to win in Stratford.
I was going to say, 4 weeks ago, they were probably hoping they wouldn't have to win this game to get into the playoffs.
Exactly. And for Stratford, again, they just continue to play exceptionally well. And then there's Amherst at Wittenberg-Burnhamwood. And Whitburn now 4-4 overall, 3-3. Boy, their losses, they lost in overtime at Tomahawk. They lost in overtime against Stratford. They lost after a 14-0 lead at Marathon last week. The only game, and they even had the lead against Spencer Columbus at halftime before that one turned around. Unfortunately, you didn't have a chance to talk last week with Coach Rick, but again, he's been proud of what this team has accomplished. They lost their starting. They lost one of the best players in the area due to a knee injury before the season started. They have to go back to the drawing board when it came to their offense. They've been unlucky all year.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually think this is going to be a very interesting game because I was mentioned earlier, Amherst started the year off. They were just pounding teams.
Yeah.
And then they struggled a little bit against Loyal. They struggled against Spencer Columbus. They've lost to Stratford. I think for Whitburn, they want to get a W because I think that would help significantly wherever they end up in the postseason. But for Amherst, and again, I'd look at the numbers. I want to tell you this. Stratford is behind Amherst even with that loss last week. Amherst is number 5. Stratford's number 8. Remember a couple years ago when Auburndale was ahead of Stratford and they were all bent out of shape about that, and then Stratford went to Auburndale in one of the playoffs?
And Wittenberg gets a win here. Marathon has that victory over them. That's got to only help them, too, if they find a way to beat Spencer Columbus this week.
And Wittenberg is 17th, even with all these tough losses. Yeah. So they're still right there fighting for a potential home playoff game as well. But I think this would be a very interesting game.
I think the one thing I've just off the cuff, and that maybe this will prove me wrong when the final seedings come out or as we move forward through the years, is it looks to me like Division One is definitely the toughest one to move or make. I mean, there's just so many really good programs. Yeah. Coach mentioned earlier about the Classic 8 down there in that Madison, Waukesha area, whatever. There's just some outstanding programs. And I think once you kind of get into the meat of the season, I think it's a lot more difficult to move up or down in those areas just because of the level of competition.
I think you're exactly right. Another really good, I mean, CWC Large has some really good games this week. Spencer Columbus at Marathon. I mean, I've been impressed with Spencer Columbus from the very beginning. They played really tough games against good opponents, and now they're winning, and they're going to be in the playoffs. They're 4-4, 3-3. Marathon, we talked to Coach Dinkle a few weeks back. They had a couple of really tough losses early. They could be a 6-2 team right now instead of 4-4, but they're 4-4, 3-3. They look like they're going back to the playoffs as well. For both these teams, I think this would be a great W to make Saturday even better.
No, I agree. I think If you're Marathon, which is the team we know more about and follow a little more closely, you win this game against a Spencer Columbus team, like you said, that's been playing well, and you parlay that with your win over Wittenberg-Burnhamwood the week before, you got to feel really good about those playoffs and where you head. You're looking it up for me right now.
Well, I
want
to see if they have a chance for a home game. They're 22 right now. So
that'd be tough.
It would be tough at this point, but right? Again,
but if you'd have told Coach Dinkle when he was here a few weeks ago that they were going to be 22 going into week 9, he'd have probably taken that.
And then there's Wyoming Fremont. They will be taking on Colby in the final game of their season. Wyoming Fremont, they are 2-4 in the conference. That means they have to win this game. They're number 16 this weekend. Some interesting stuff in these numbers, I tell you.
Yeah.
I guess the assumption is they're going to beat Colby, be 3-4, 5-4 overall. But if they don't win, then again, I mean, does 2 wins automatically eliminate you? I don't know.
I don't know that either.
Do you drop from number 16 out of the top 32 with one loss?
I can't imagine.
But that's weird. But Wyoming Fremont, I think, theoretically should have to win this game, but maybe they don't. I don't know. And then there's the Merriwood CWC. Abbotsford at Edgar. Abbotsford, I think they've been banged up a bit late in the season. Yep. That game against Auburndale kind of stood out. And even the game against Pittsville, where Pittsville put up 42 points and Dawson Luther had like 8,000 yards rushing that night. But Abbotsford and Edgar, this is not a great way to go into the playoffs for the Abbey Falcons against an Edgar team that just has been really good.
And I would say maybe it is a good game for the Edgar Wildcats as they go into the playoffs to face a team that who at their best rushes the ball really well. So you pitch a shutout against them. You as Coach Sins, you feel pretty good coming out of that. But Abbotsford also had the bye week this last week.
True. That could help.
So if health was an issue for them, maybe they've gotten a little healthy. Obviously, isn't anybody picking Abbott unless it's against the spread? Isn't anybody picking Abbotsford to beat Edgar this week? But probably an important game for both teams.
Auburndale at Iola Scandinavia. And you look at Division Six. You got Edgar number four. You got Auburndale number nine. So, again, a couple of these CWC Merrillwood teams very much could be in the mix to face off in the playoffs later on.
Yeah, and I think that Auburndale – and Iola Scandinavia has had a rough go, so I don't know what beating them does. But at nine for Auburndale, if you get to eight, that's a big difference.
That's significant. Got Pittsville at Pacelli. Pittsville has worked their way into the playoff mix late in the season. And, again, this Dawson Luther, I mean, he had he cracked 1,000 yards last week. I think he got most of those yardage in the last three weeks. Yeah. Assumption has a forfeit win against Rochelt, and let me look at where's Assumption here, because maybe they're going to finish up their 11-player journey with their 30 seconds, and I don't imagine they're going to be hurt by winning by forfeit. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But
Wouldn't that be something?
So they're number 32 in Division 7. Pittsville, number 31 in Division 7. So Pacelli is number 29 in Division 7. All these CWC Merrillwood squads are all in Division 6 or 7. Looks like they're going to the playoffs.
And probably loving this new playoff system.
And in 8-player, the playoffs get underway this week. And a couple of teams from our area involved. The Newman Catholic Cardinals are our number 5 seed. Travel to number 4 seeded Frederick. That'll be Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock kickoff. I will be making the 3-hour trek to Frederick. On
riding the team bus?
It's the plan.
All right. At least you can nap.
That's exactly right. So 12:35 airtime live here on 98.9 WXEO. We go everywhere. We don't just show up for the easy games, broadcast. Some people do that. Do you know that?
No cherry picking
here. No, we're at all the games. If it's West, I'm going to River Falls. If it's Newman, I'm going to Frederick. So. But for the Cards, again, they made the WIAA A-player playoffs every year. Only two teams have done that. They're back at it. And one thing is, I mean, this is a Frederick team. That's a solid team. I was watching actually a little of the film of Frederick. They got a couple of kids that look like pretty good athletes. Right. Talking to Coach Carl Thorpe, he said, nobody, you know, they don't have one of those like LT types, you know, take over a game.
Yep.
But they don't have anybody that's really weak either. They got a lot of good players all over the field. And it's always interesting when you face a team you haven't faced before. I mean, that's one of the interesting aspects of this game, and I feel like Mick Ligg and his staff will be able to take advantage of that.
Do you know what style offense they play?
They got different kinds of formations. They have a little bit of the spread, a little bit under center. I mean, they do different kind of things.
So, I mean, it'd be good for the Cardinals to see a team that's not going to roll up 400 and whatever yards like they did last week, although maybe after watching the film they do that. And kind of like what happened with the Wisconsin Valley Conference last year, going and seeing some different teams. The expansion of the playoffs allows for some of those other opportunities, and maybe going on the road and seeing some different trees, as they say, will be good for the Cardinals.
And Athens made the playoffs as well. The Athens Blue Jays, number 4 seed, so they get a home game against number 5 seeded Niagara. And of course, we had a chance to talk to one of the Athens players, running back, who had a great year. So good for Athens. They only won, I think, one game last year, so they turned it all really nicely.
Fantastic.
Well, we got, what do we got left? Under a minute to go. Week number 9. Any final thoughts?
No, I think it's been a great regular season. It'd be interesting to see these matchups and see how the final conference championships and to see what this new playoff system looks like. And
I'm curious to see who's going to be upset Saturday when these brackets come out.
If there's one thing we can guarantee, it's going to be somebody.
And we will have some brackets to talk about, both the 8-player with the games actually being played, and then, of course, we'll talk about the level 1 11-player games next week as well. So a lot to look forward to.
Looking forward to it. Should be a great week 9, and here we go, playoffs.
We'll see you next week. Thanks to Ian Welsh, our in-studio engineer. I am Chad Holmes, and we'll see you next week on the Big High School Sports Show on WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro condemns what he calls coup d'etats orchestrated by the CIA. It comes after President Trump confirms that he authorized the CIA to conduct covert operations in that country. CBS's Linda Kenyon reports.
President Trump says he issued the authorization for two reasons.
Number one, they have emptied their prisons into the United States of America.
And number two,
drugs. We have a lot of drugs coming in from Venezuela.
The U.S. military has blown up several small boats. Trump says we're running drugs into the U.S.
We're not going to let this country, our country, be ruined because other people want to drop, as you say, their worst.
When asked if the CIA has the authority to take out Venezuela's president,
wouldn't it be a ridiculous question for me to answer?
Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
The head of the U.S. Citizen